All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the New Testament book of 1 John, chapter 3. All right, 1 John, chapter 3. And I want to read just a couple of verses here, starting in verse 1. And I want to speak to you tonight on this little, actually on the second verse, where it says that we are the sons of God. So I'm going to speak tonight on we are the sons of God. But let's read verse 1 and 2, and then we'll pray, and then the message. All right, beginning in verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That is an amazing verse right there. Absolutely amazing. And I want to take this second verse, and I want to kind of break it down a little bit and show you a couple of things about the subject that we are the sons of God. All right, let's pray, and then the message. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we rejoice in your goodness. Thank you for the beautiful music we have heard. Thank you, Father, for the testimonies of folks being saved. And Lord, we just rejoice in how you work and how you use just average, ordinary people like us. And Father, we rejoice in that. Thank you. And I want to pray now that you will bless us. We take a look at this second verse in 1 John 3. And Father, I pray that you will bless and help me as I speak, and I pray that you will bless our folks as they listen. So give us a great time together around your word, and we'll rejoice in your blessing. In Christ's name, amen. The Apostle John, you remember, he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. He is the disciple who leaned upon our Lord's chest and heard his heartbeat while at the upper room. This is the same one who lived longer than any of the other apostles. He was a man blessed beyond measure by the Lord, I think because of the faithfulness that he exhibited to his Savior for all of his life. I just am amazed at some of the wonderful things that John speaks about in this epistle. And in this third chapter, he is showing us that we have a place, and that place as a believer is that we are the sons of God. All right, what a powerful statement that is. John says that we now, all of us who are saved, now are the sons of God. That's encouraging to my heart. You see, back on September the 10th, 1954, I became the son of Norris and Norma Belcher Sr. My dad is Norris Sr. I was naturally born into their family, and I became their son. All right, now that was naturally, that was a natural birth. But then, on October the 25th, 1970, I was supernaturally born into the family of God. Amen. All right, that was the day that I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And on that day, I received a new birth. a spiritual birth. And God, the Holy Spirit, birthed me into God's family. And just as much as I am sure about my physical birth, I am just as sure about my spiritual birth. Amen. You? Is that how you feel about it? Somebody said, when were you saved? Well, I'm not ashamed of that at all. I'll be glad to tell anybody the day that I trusted Christ as my Savior. Now, I am today, right now, a son of God. By faith, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior when the gospel was explained to me. And that moment that I received Christ as my Savior, I was adopted into the family. All right? But I'm adopted with full rights. All right? Don't misunderstand that. You say, well, how can an adopted... No, when you adopt, that child that you adopt gets all rights from you. That's how it works. All right? And it's the same way in our spiritual lives. By faith, we are adopted into the family of God. And when we are given full legal benefits to enjoy for all of eternity. What a wonderful promise that is. Thank the Lord for that. Everything that my Heavenly Father owns is one day going to be mine. And it's going to be yours. I think that's pretty good. Amen. I'll take that over the flesh and sin and hell any day. Amen. And I think you will too. All right, now, let me show you a few things about this verse and point out what I think are some very simple, little, neat things that can bless and encourage our heart as believers. First of all, in verse 2, I want you to see our position. Our position. Verse 2 says, now, right here tonight at 6:45 this 27th day of October 2024, right now, we are the sons of God. Amen. We are children of the living God. Now, that is what we are now positionally. We have been placed into the family of God, and positionally, we are the sons of God. And now, the $100,000 question is, how did we get, or do we get, placed into this position? How do we get to be the sons of God? Well, God, you will remember, is three yet one. Now we read that in 1 John chapter 5, where he says that, that if you look at verse 7, he says, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, that's Jesus, of course, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are what? One. These three are one. So we serve the living God, and that God is Father, Son, and Spirit, and those three are one God. That's the God of our salvation. Now, let me show you something here about the three persons of the Godhead. I like to call it Godhead because the word Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible. But the word Godhead is. And that's why I like to use the Bible word, the Godhead. Now, here's how I understand how this works. All right? First, God designed our salvation. God designed our salvation. You'll remember in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, when the Lord Jesus was speaking with Nicodemus, we are told that the Lord Jesus said to him, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." You see, we are sinners, and as a sinner, we wanted nothing to do with God. As a sinner, we wanted nothing to do with God. But here's the good news. God came to us. He came down to us and provided us a way that we could have our sins forgiven and have an eternal home in heaven. So it was God who sent his Son. God designed our salvation. If you'll remember when Adam sinned in Genesis chapter 3, he and Eve went and hid themselves from God. They heard God coming in the garden. And after they sinned, they went and hid themselves. They did not want to fellowship with God. You say, well, why is that? Well, same reason that we don't want to fellowship with God. S-I-N. It's that simple. And they didn't want to fellowship with God because of sin. And so they went and hid themselves. And when they hid themselves, we are told that God himself spoke and called for them. And God knew what Adam and Eve had done. He knew what they had done. There was no a doubt about that. But notice that it was God who was seeking after Adam. It was not Adam who was seeking after God. Adam, when he heard God coming, went and hid himself. And he didn't want a fellowship with God. Sin does that to you, you know. So God designed a plan of salvation. God selected us and came looking for us. That's our God. He loves us. And that is what God does. He knows that the plan that he has for our redemption is necessary. And that's why he's the one that comes looking for us. Amen. All right? Paul deals with this directly in the book of Romans. And I'll just read you a couple of verses here out of Romans chapter 3. And the Bible here says in verse 10, familiar verse to you, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." None. You say, well, how then do we come to God? God seeks for us. God is drawing us. Why? Because he knows that his plan of redemption is exactly what we need. He designed it. So he knows it's what we need. Amen. All right? Now, God designed it. Now, secondly, the Lord Jesus executed our salvation. All right? So God designed it, and the Lord Jesus executed that salvation. All right? Think of it this way, folks. It's the same way with creation. God designed creation, but it was the Lord Jesus who executed God's design and created the universe. And then you'll remember in Genesis 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, and the Spirit brooded over the waters. So it was, but make no mistake, all three of the Godhead are there, all right? And so it's the same principle. God designed, Jesus executed our salvation, all right? It was God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who actually came and was God in the flesh, but he came and went to the cross and paid our sin debt. What a great, great, wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus paid our sin debt. Because you see, if he doesn't pay it, then that means you and I, we have to pay it ourselves. And here's the thing, he was without sin. He was not dying for his own transgressions. He was dying for ours. It was a vicarious atonement. That little word vicarious means in my stead. So Jesus came and executed God's plan. And God's plan was that somebody, and it had to have been God, it had to have been the Lord Jesus, somebody pay our sin debt. And folks, that's why the Lord Jesus was born of a virgin, so as not to inherit the sin nature that you and I inherited from our parents. And so when he died, he was not dying for himself, for his own sin. He was dying for our sin. So it was Jesus who executed that plan. God the Son went to Calvary's cross and there gave his life and shed his blood so that we could be saved from sin. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Then the Holy Spirit. You say, well, what's the Holy Spirit do? Here's a neat thing. The Holy Spirit simply administrates our salvation. He administrates our salvation. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, it is God, the Holy Spirit, who convicts, who convinces me of sin and shows me that I need to be saved from my sin. It is the Holy Spirit of God who regenerates me and makes me a part of the family of God. You see, I was gened the first time of my mom and my dad, but I am re-gened. Do you not remember when the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, marvel not, I say unto you, you must be what?
Born again.
Now, what's that mean? You must be regenerated. That's what it means. The word born again simply, literally, if you translated it as is, you must be regened. But nobody would have understood what regened means. So they translated it born again. You were born the first time, a physical genes, your mother's and your father's. That's why you look like them. That's why you talk like them. That's why you behave like them. Oh, that's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why you're like your parents. You know, mirror, mirror on the wall, I am my father after all. Amen. That's true. You know it, isn't it? Y'all right over there? He just fell out on the floor. All right, you see the point, folks? So we are regenerated, and it's the Holy Spirit of God who regenerates me and you into the family of God and makes us the sons of God that we are today. Now, Jonah said in Jonah 2 and verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. Amen. Salvation is of the Lord. It is of the Lord Jehovah God who planned it. It is of the Lord Jesus Christ who executed it. And it is of the Holy Spirit of God who regenerates us and administrates that salvation, and that makes me a part of God's wonderful family. Seals me. The Holy Spirit quickens me, Paul says. He makes me alive at regeneration. You remember in Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. But it is the Holy Spirit who quickens us. He makes us alive at salvation. And we get a life that is an eternal life. So praise the Lord for that. All right, and because God designed salvation, and Jesus did the work to execute our salvation, and the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and draws us to the Lord Jesus, we can say that we are tonight a child of God. Amen. I'm in the family. How about you? I'm in the family. I am a child of God. But now secondly, here's what I want you to see second. All right, we saw, first of all, we saw our position. All right, but now secondly, I want you to notice our potential. Look at your verse, please. Oh, I love this. This is so good. Every believer ought to hear these things and learn these things about our salvation. All right, look at verse 2. Beloved, now, so today, and right there is our position. Now are we the sons of God. Now watch this. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now, shall be, is that past tense? No. Is that present tense? No. That's future tense, isn't it? All right? Future tense. So what we shall be. Now, Christian, listen. Aren't you glad that this is not all there is? I am. I am. You say, Pastor, what do you mean this is not all there is? Well, the Bible tells us about our wonderful salvation, and this is just the first part of our salvation. We, by faith, trusted in the finished work of Christ. And when we did, that Holy Spirit then regenerates us, adopts us into the family. He then seals us for all eternity. You say, well, then what's going to happen to us if there's more that's coming? What is it? Well, let's look at our Bible here. He said, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we see, secondly, our potential, and that is what we shall be. Folks, we're not yet what we're going to be. Amen. All right? I can't wait to see what I'm going to be. Can you? I mean, I just can't wait to see that. You say, well, Pastor, what's ahead? Well, hold your place here, please, and let's go back for just a moment to 1 Corinthians 15, where we were this morning for a brief moment. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. All right, now I want you to follow along here with me and look at verse 51. Verse 51. Paul says to the Corinthian church, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Oh yeah, what's that? Well, we shall not all sleep. All right, now that means in church as well, okay? We shall not all sleep. Now, I've told you before, that little word sleep is not talking about soul sleep. There is no such thing as soul sleep in the Bible. Nothing even connected to it. You say, well, what about purgatory? No, there's no purgatory. You say, well, I was always taught there was purgatory. No, Jesus purged our sin. The Lord Jesus, listen to me now, let this sink in. You got to unlearn some things before you can learn some other things. All right? And this is Bible. Listen to this. Jesus purged our sins. Jesus is our purgatory. He is our purge. He is the one that purged us of our sin. I don't know how else to explain it any better than that. Aren't you glad you don't have to carry around this bundle of sin on your back all the time? Amen. Man, if I did, I'd be so hunched over and bent over, wouldn't be able to climb a set of steps without getting on my hands. We're all that way. We're sinners. But thank God, so far as this regeneration is concerned, my sins are gone. He purged them. Separated as far as the east is from the west. Cast to the depths of the sea. Never to be remembered against us no more. Oh, thank God for the work that Jesus did. Folks, when Jesus went to that cross, and when he died, and when he was buried, and when he was resurrected, he did not do a half job on that. No, and when he executed our salvation, he did it right.
Amen.
And our sins are gone. Gone. You say, well, where'd they go? Who cares? They're gone.
Amen.
I don't care where they are. Just as long as I don't have to carry them around. All right? So, read on. So what he said, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all go to the cemetery. The word, the Greek word there is cemeteros. Sound familiar? It should, because that's what he's saying. We shall not all die. We shall not all go to the cemetery. But, watch, we shall, what's the next word? All be changed. We shall all be changed. That's all of us who know the Lord as our Savior. All of us who have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. All right, now watch. In a moment, here's where we're going to be regenerated. In a moment. That's powerful right there. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's the amount of time that when somebody flips on a light, that light sparkles off your eye. That's quick. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, that's trumpet, not Donald. All right? For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead, in other words, all those that have made a trip to the cemetery. All right, but here's a mystery. Not all of us are going to have to go to the cemetery. That's good news, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to go to the cemetery. Anybody want to go? No, I don't either. I want to go up. In the rapture, that's what I want. I want to hear that trumpet sound. Have you ever thought about this? Some of us are going to be in bed when that trumpet sounds. Don't worry, you won't sleep through it. Don't worry, all right? You won't sleep through it, I promise you. But some of us are going to be sleeping. It's going to be dark, and folks are going to be in bed sleeping somewhere on the planet when the Lord Jesus comes back. Sobering thought. That'll keep you up going, All right? Keep on reading. He said, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, in other words, those who are alive on this earth, when Jesus comes at the rapture, all of us shall be changed. Now, why do we have to be changed? Because these sinful bodies are not able to endure heaven. We got to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we will be. And then in verse 53, look at what he said. For the corruptible, that's us, all right? We're corruptible right now. All of us are right now in the process of corrupting. Sorry, but we are, all right? We are born, and then we start towards death. It's just the way it is. It's sin that does that to us. And this corruptible must put on, verse 53, incorruption, and this mortal, which means we don't live forever, this mortal must put on immortality, which means that we will live forever. Amen. So you see our potential here. Read on. It gets better. He said in verse 34, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Oh, thank God for the victory. That's why we sing in our hymn books, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Because the victory has already been given. It's already been given. All you and I have to do is simply wait until it's the day of victory. And that trumpet sounds, and we go to be with the Lord. Amen. So we're going to be changed. You see, one of these days, the Lord is coming back. He will appear in the clouds at the rapture of the church. That is the next prophetic thing on God's calendar. Amen. That's next. You say, well, Israel has to do this. No, Israel's already done all Israel is going to do. All right? They've already done it. They became a nation in 1948. That was all that has to be done. And look at how the Lord has blessed and preserved his people. All right, so we shall be changed. And he's going to raise the bodies of all those who have died, whom we have buried in the ground. Now, wait a minute. When a person who is a son of God dies, what happens to them? Well, his or her eternal soul goes to be with the Lord in heaven. All right? And then when that rapture happens, all of those bodies are going to resurrect. And they will be reunited with their soul that is in heaven. And this body will be changed. We have to be changed. These bodies cannot handle heaven. All right? So we have to be changed. Now, the salvation that the Lord provided will be completed in us when the Lord Jesus comes back at that rapture. You see, the dead go up, they're reunited with their souls, then we who are alive and remain, we're changed, we go up to meet the Lord, and then during the tribulation period, while all this wrath and judgment is going to be poured out down here, all of us, all the redeemed, every one of us who has been regenerated through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, all of us are going to stand one day at the judgment seat of Christ. All right? And we're going to receive crowns based upon our faithfulness to the Lord. There's a crown for soul winning. There's a crown for faithfulness. There are different crowns. And the whole point is we serve the Lord. We earn crowns. We then take off our crowns and lay them at His feet. The glory goes to Him, our Redeemer, not to us. Amen. All right? So, look at verse 52 again. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You see, the bodies of those sons of God who have died are corrupting in the ground. But remember what I've taught you so many times. We are going to live for eternity on a new earth, and so we have to have a new body. And that's why ours is going to be changed. This one we have is corrupted by sin. It has the curse of sin upon it. It gets old. It gets wrinkled. It gets diseased on the inside and outside. And eventually it dies. Now, as the sons of God, praise the Lord, we go to heaven when we die. But the body stays here because it's not equipped to go to heaven. But when that trumpet sounds, our bodies are going to be changed. I like that. Oh, the Lord conceived just a tremendous program here. All right. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Don't forget now, John said here in this, in 1 John 3, 2, he said that it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So one day, I'm going to be given a new, perfect, sinless, glorified body. This one that I have now was made for this earth. But I'm going to get a new one because I'm not staying down here on this earth for eternity. I'm going to heaven. Amen. So I'm going to need a new body. So Paul very clearly states that when Jesus comes, that's when our bodies are going to be changed like unto His glorious body. My mother, who passed away in 1978, is going to be raised and given a new body when the Lord returns. And if the Lord comes back while I'm still living, I'm going to be raised. And I'm going to get a new body. And I can't wait for it. Because I'm telling you, this one's running out of steam. All right? Now, we'll be caught up. Now, listen to the scriptures, folks. Paul says that we're going to be here 1 second and then gone the next. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. We're going to be here 1 second and then gone the next second. I mean, imagine in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we're gone. We might look at each other and say to one another, "Man, there's not much to you, is there?" You know, people, it used to be, people would hear me on a tape, you know. People would hear me on a tape, and they would think I was 6'5", you know, and big strapping guy, muscles all over the place, and then you see me and say, "You're Norse Belcher?" Hey, don't laugh, that hurts. All right? "Oh, I thought you'd be much taller." I said, "Well, you ain't much to look at either." You know? You say, "Well, you ain't much to look at." Well, you know, right now, you might be right. But you don't know my potential. You don't know what's coming. All right? You don't know what my potential is. My potential is what I shall be. And according to the word of God, what I shall be is just like him. Amen. What a promise we have. What a promise. This old body I have now has years of wear and tear on it. I got centuries of genetic makeup that have influenced my looks and my behavior and my abilities. I may not be much to look at here, and I may not be very smart now, and I may not be the most healthy individual in the world, and I may not be much of anything, truth be told, but wait a minute, I have potential. Oh, by the way, so do you. So it doth not appear what we shall be. I am one day going to be caught up to meet my Savior in the air. And I am going to be changed and made as perfect as the Lord Jesus is perfect. So just be patient, because we haven't reached our potential yet. All right. Jesus, however, is coming again. And then lastly, let's see the person. Let's see the person. Going back to 1 John chapter 3. And if you will look at that second verse, he said, "But we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." That's the person. We see him now. Listen carefully now. Let your mind, all right, grasp this. Right now, we see him by faith. All right, please get that. Right now, we see him by faith. You say, "Well, how do we get to know him?" Right here. Amen. You read the Bible, you'll find out who Jesus is. All right? You say, "Well, I'd like to see him." You're going to. You will see him one of these days. But right now, we live by faith. Why? Why does God do that? Here's why. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Amen.
You see, he can't bring every one of us up and say, "Well, here's Jesus. There he is right there." And you're going to look at him and say, you'd look at him and you'd say, "That's Jesus?" "Yeah." "Well, he looks like a lamb that's been slain." Yes, he does. You know why? Because that's what he is. That's who he is. He's a lamb who was slain for each of us. You say, well, when he comes back, is he going to come back at his return with all of us as his army and battle against the world, the Antichrist in the world? Is he going to come back like a lamb slain? No, he's going to come back then glorified. But wait a minute, you are too.
Amen.
All right? So when he comes back, we come back with him. And the book of Joel tells us all about that. We come back riding horses.
Amen.
Ah.
Amen.
All the women just panicked. Well, I can't ride a horse. You will be able to. You say, well, what if I fall off? You won't. You won't. You say, well, why not? You're going to have a glorified body. That's why. A glorified body just like his glorious body. Oh, my. I can't wait to see the Lord Jesus face to face. Can you?
Amen.
I've been seeing him now for all these years through eyes of faith. All these years reading this book and seeing a little truth here and a little nugget there and a powerful verse there. And I've just sometimes pushed my chair back in awe of what I have learned about my great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But just imagine when we see him face to face. You know, back in the 70s, you used to hear these Jesus fanatics, you know, and all of them had a vision. They all had a dream. Yeah, God, I went to heaven, saw Jesus, man. He was so cool. Oh, you did? You saw him? Yeah. Yeah. What did he look like? Well, he had long hair, you know. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He didn't have long hair. If you think Jesus had long hair, no. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. Do you think Jesus would shame himself? No way. No way. The Romans didn't wear long hair. They had short hair. And the Jews did as well. It was a sign of manhood.
Amen.
If you wore long hair, they looked at you like you were a sissy.
Amen.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Amen.
That one was free. That didn't cost a thing. All right. And I'll go pass the offering plates on that one. But I hope you see the point, folks. No, you didn't see Jesus. First of all, that body you got's not equipped to go to heaven, so don't give me that baloney.
Right.
Hello.
Amen.
Anybody home?
Amen.
I'm looking forward to seeing him, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm looking forward to the trumpet blast. I'm looking forward to looking into his face. I mean, the one who executed God's plan and made a way for me to get to heaven for all eternity. I'll see the one who sits on the throne as the Lamb of God. I'll see the one who has gone to prepare a mansion for me to live in. Oh, my goodness. And I get to see the streets of gold. I'll get to see the one who has been my advocate, my go-between, who has heard my prayers and who pleads my case to his heavenly Father, who sits with him on the throne. And I want to look upon those nail-scarred hands. I want to see that. I want to see that hole that was in his side. And I want to see those compassionate eyes. And I want to hear his sweet voice tell me how much he loves me, even though I'm a sinner who deserves an eternity in hell. We will see him as he is. Man, I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? Maybe there's someone listening to me tonight. Maybe you're here in this auditorium or you're listening online. I don't know how you may be getting the service, but however you're getting it, there may be somebody and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. My friend, the only hope you have to get to heaven and it is to get saved. That's the only hope you have. If I were here tonight and I did not know for sure that I was saved and on my way to heaven, I would jump up right now. I wouldn't care if a preacher was finished preaching or not. I'd jump up right now and I'd run down to this altar and I would say to somebody, somebody take a Bible and show me how I can get saved. Amen. That's how much I believe that we need the Lord. And if you are saved and you're not living for God, then I would encourage you to walk down these aisles and just kneel down and rededicate your heart to the Lord. You see, folks, the trumpet could sound today. Amen. Very well could. All the saber rattling that's going on, it's going on in the right places. Yep. It's all happening in the right spots. Iran's up to their eyeballs in Bible prophecy. You say, where? Have you never read Persia? That's Iran. Iran is Persia in the Bible. Pretty neat, huh? Iraq is all over the scriptures. You say, it says Iraq? No, but it does say Nineveh. Yes. It does say Babylon. That's Iraq. Syria is all over the Bible. Yep. Yeah. Egypt's all over the Bible. And how there's going to be a coalition of those nations who will come together to destroy Israel and drive them into the Mediterranean Sea. That's the goal. But that's when our Redeemer, whom we shall see as he is going to step out of heaven with all of us who are changed. We're not what we are now. Oh no, our potential has not yet been reached, but boy, that day is coming. And we're going to come with him. And we are going to fight in a battle that is going to once and for all put an end to all this fighting. Yeah. The Prince of Peace is then going to sit down upon the throne of David in Jerusalem and rule and reign for 1,000 years. Now let's see Kamala top that. Amen. Amen. Folks, listen, I think we're getting down to the wire on this thing. I really do. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Wonder how many folks would say tonight, Pastor, pray for me, pray for me. I haven't been living for the Lord like I should. But I know the Lord's coming back, and I know I need to be prepared to hear that trumpet sound. Preacher, pray for me tonight. Would you lift your hand all over this building, Christian? Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Yes, God bless. God bless. Many hands. God bless you. Yes. God bless. Thank you. Upstairs. Just hold your hands up. Yes, God bless you folks. All right, Father, you know our hearts tonight. And I just pray that you'll draw each and every one of us close to you. And Father, help us in our Christian life to get in the Word and grow and learn the Bible and know what the Bible says. And Father, help us to realize that we're the sons of God now, but we hadn't hit our potential yet. Oh, Lord, we got so much that is coming our way, so many blessings and so many wonderful things. And so help us to be challenged and help us to be encouraged to live for you in the light of your Word. Bless now, we pray, all these hands that were raised. And Father, give us a real desire to live for you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.